Thank you for tuning in to The Tricia Goyer Show. I'm sharing my heart and answering questions about faith, writing, homeschool, big family living, and so much more. I'll also be digging deep into meaningful conversations with other authors, speakers, moms, and God lovers. I'm your host, Tricia Goyer, wife to John, mom of 10, author of over 80 books, speaker, homeschooler, avid reader, and mega nap taker. I'm so glad you're here. Hello, Tricia Goyer here, and I'm always happy to be back with an amazing author, and I'm so excited about the conversation today. So I have Cynthia Tobias here today. So first of all, welcome, Cynthia, and why don't you just start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, thank you, Tricia. Well, I'm starting to sound like I either am real eclectic or can't hold down a job, but I've I've done this for 36 years now as an author and speaker. I spent 8 years in public high school as a high school teacher, spent 6 years in law enforcement as a police officer. And I've written 16 books to date, specialize in the strong-willed child and learning styles. And I just, I am so blessed that I get to do something that I really love and I get paid for doing it. Sometimes I'll do it free.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much. Your new book is Reclaiming Education. I have a copy here. Teach your child to be a confident learner. And as a homeschooling mom, I have a homeschooling mom of 10 kids. Oh, so wow. I've read your material for a long time as you talk about learning styles. So we'll talk about all those things. But first of all, I would love to hear kind of your heart behind this book and why you felt it was the right time for this book.
Well, you know, God felt like it was the right time,
evidently,
because I spoke at a Focus on the Family Chapel back in 2022 and afterwards for the employee chapel. And I went out for lunch like I usually do with my editor and publisher. And they said, hey, the way they learn is, you know, this is its 30th anniversary coming up and it's still doing well. And we're wondering, do you have another book in you like that? I went, no. No, I'm really, Jack and I want to kind of take it easy and kind of wind down after 36 years. And they said, well, will you pray about it? And, oh, man.
Once they say that, then you know something's coming, right?
I didn't want to answer because I know if I pray about it and God says, do it, I'm going to do it. So sure enough, you know, it really, but I came back with the, and it really is, I think, his idea. And I let him sort of write it through me because it's not, it's a lot like some of my books, but it's really unique from any of the other books too. I got Mary Jo Dean of Great Homeschool Conventions to write a couple chapters for me, looking at some options and just thinking about, all right, what do we need most at this time? And as you know, in 2020, the classroom moved into the living room and parents that weren't homeschool parents before suddenly got a wake-up call. Their biggest wake-up call was, oh, wow, is this what they're teaching my child? And the motivation was flagging and, you know, kids aren't excited about computer, all that kind of stuff. So as I wrote the book, it was kind of twofold. It was, first of all, to kind of capitalize on that wake-up call to say, look, you are your child's first and most influential teacher. You can't just put them into public school, for example, and put it on autopilot and expect the best. You have to be involved in the learning because first of all, we learned that they aren't learning. 77% of the kids graduating from public high school after 13 years, 77% weren't proficient in any of the basic subjects.
Right.
So, and homeschooling, you know, burgeoned at this. And so I said, all right, I think this is kind of going to be the pinnacle. And I'm going to write the most practical and helpful things for parents, but I want to make a deal with you. I said to Focus and Tyndale, parents are going to read this. It's a quick, compelling read, but they're going to want to do something about it right away. They're going to say, okay, so how do I find out what my child's learning styles are and what do I do? And I said, so what I'd like to do is I want to put a QR code in the book that they can download immediately and for free, and they can make copies for a classroom copy if they're teachers, 10 copies if they're a homeschool mom of 10 kids, one for each child, and let them immediately get to talking to their kids about this and figuring out, well, I don't know if I've asked you before, but, you know, do you, what do you think about this? And what do you think would make it easier here? So that's kind of the background of the book. And I'm pretty excited about it. It just feels like this is the time. And I've gotten some really good feedback. I beta tested it with middle schoolers in a Christian school. Mm-hmm. And they gave me some tips, you know, in the rough draft. And then they loved the final draft. It's PDF fillable. So you can either copy and download, or you can just print it right out on, or put it right on your device. So that's kind of the genesis of the book. And yeah, it's been fun to see. Of course, I've spoken to several homeschool groups, and it seems to kind of hit the mark, not because of me. And it really isn't.
Right.
It really is because this was commissioned by my Heavenly Father and said, I want you to do this before you decide you want to take it easy.
Oh, I love that. And I love that you were faithful in that, and that you knew that you could provide something that would help today's parents, because you've been doing this a long time.
Yes.
What do you see differently about what's happening today with education compared to when you first started? Because you have a lot to say, but now it's even different than before.
We've always known, Tricia, and you know better than anybody with your kids, we've always known that every child's different, mm-hmm. and that every child has potential, and every child is unique.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that every person, every child is born to fulfill a purpose mm-hmm. that only they can fulfill, and by their creator and designer. But what's going on now is worldview is come into really sharp focus with our schools. And it used to be parents thought, well, the public schools are kind of neutral worldview, and we're mm-hmm. biblical worldview, so we'll teach them at home about the Bible, and public school, they'll learn about scholastics. And that's changed.
Yeah,
it's all
yeah.
changed. It's the worldview now is matters more than ever, because it's anti-Christian. Mm-hmm. It's an anti-Christian worldview. It's a deliberate indoctrination of kids, both sex education and so many, and worldview and gender, and all of this stuff has come to the forefront, and it's just out there now. It's just exposed. There's no secrecy. There's no hiding it. And parents need to get involved. They have to get involved. Maybe they won't homeschool full time like we do, but there are so many options, so many hybrid models, so many ways to do it. And I asked at a recent conference just last week, somebody raised their hand in the homeschool conference, and they said, well, how can you figure out what your child's learning strengths are? And I said, well, mm-hmm. you could start with, what do they do that annoys you?
Yeah, there you go.
Do you have a child who irritates you? All kinds of hands went up. Well, the chances are good that whatever is irritating you is probably indicative of a strength that that's being either denied or not realized. For example, the kid who's constantly interrupting you, talk, and you can't get a word in edgewise, and she won't be quiet for even a minute. Well, it could be that part of her learning strength is that auditory part that says, mm-hmm. unless I can actually hear my own voice say it, I won't remember it or understand it yet. So that's my husband. He's highly auditory. You know, he wants to talk during the movie for a second. He'll pause, but he'll make many pauses because he'll say, can we talk about this for a minute? I'm like, can't we just watch it and talk about it later? Well, no, because then I won't remember what I wanted to say. And, you know, I'm more visual. You can talk to me like he talks, and I'm just waiting for the short version because I'm trying to think. I need to see what you mean. And so, and I said, could you give me the short version? And he goes, you always want the short version. Yeah, I do want the short version.
Yeah.
And then another way of the learning strength that tends to really be irritating is the kid who can't sit still. For instance, I'm not even in a chair that moves, but I'm, when I was doing the audio narration for my book, the gal on the other side of the cubicle said, boy, you really can't sit still, can you? But, you know, I really try, but unless I can move my body in some way, my body just keeps saying, all you can think about is you've got to move.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I can find some way to just sort of shift in my chair, or I can do a swivel, then my body lets up on me. Okay, fine. I don't have to think about moving anymore. So I can pay attention. I can interact, and it works better. Those are the kinds of things that they're simple, they're practical, and people will go, well, yeah, that makes sense, of course, but it does bug me. Why can't he just listen to me? Why can't she do what I say the first time? Mm-hmm. And what this workbook does. It's kind of, it's just this full color 22-page little workbook. What it does is it opens the conversation. And even for really young children, you can do a lot by observation and then just kind of clarifying. Here, would you like it? Try it this way. Maybe this would be better. Even though you're kind of, you know, clenching your jaw going, oh, I don't want to do it. But just the conversations that open as a result of it, and the idea of shifting some responsibility to the learner to say, you can do hard things. If you know what you're really good at and how your mind naturally works, then when you get in situations where you're not going to be how that works, you don't have to give up and you don't have to cause trouble. You just have to think, oh, okay, what am I going to, how can I get myself squared away here? Because I know it's going to be too early for me, or I know it's going to be too quiet for me, or just awareness is half the battle. And I think that's what makes this particular book and project so valuable, is it brings the awareness and it teaches every child who talks about it and figures it out. It teaches every child to be confident and not to feel like, oh, I'm just dumb and I've never been able to do it and I'm no good at that. No, no, no. Let's look at why it's frustrating for you. Let's ask some questions. Would it make a difference if you did this? What do you think would help? And so that's what's pretty exciting about it.
And what I love about that is that, you know, even though children are in the same family, they have different styles of learning. As a homeschool mom, I would be so happy if I could just read books out loud all day. They could just sit there and listen, and I would just be able to read and read and read, and we would just all be happy. Well, some of my kids love that. Some of my kids are attentive and they listen. Some of my kids, it is like the teacher in Charlie Brown. It's like wah, 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 wah. Like they don't even hear. Like I will pause and ask a question. It's like I haven't been reading. Their mind is somewhere else. And so we've developed different things with some of my kids. I give them whiteboards and they can draw a picture and they can see it. That helps some. Some of them are have to do something completely different. They're doing Legos, that movement part of it. They can listen as long as they're painting or doing Legos. My husband will come downstairs and one kid's doing Legos, one kid's painting, one kid's doing the whiteboard to help her remember it. But there's still one of my kids, it's like I'm not talking at all. So then I have to pull up videos and we show videos. And then we have to go to the museum and we actually look and experience it. And so I think it helps me, because at first I'm like, why can't you listen? Why aren't you paying attention? And you can just make this child feel bad because they aren't able to follow along. Your sister's sitting right there next to you. She's younger than you and she can get it. No, it's instead I can say, okay, this is obviously not working. So I need to find other ways to teach the child. We'll pause in the middle of a chapter, pull up a video and say, this is what it looks like. But then make plans to get outside, to look at things, to make the field trips and make it more interactive. And then, but it benefits all of us. Like even though one of my child learns best that way, it benefits all of us to actually get out and explore and to see things. So it's hard sometimes, but it's also a benefit to all of my kids. And I just love that seeing their strengths and seeing what really works with them and then pointing that out to them. And showing them. And so when there's times when I do need to remember, like my one daughter that needs to be out and looking at things, she could tell me if I'm somewhere like, do I turn left or right to go to that jewelry store that I need to drop my bracelet off? She can tell me exactly where to go. Right. and just showing them that they have God has a plan for them and he created them for that purpose has made a real big difference in our homeschool.
And what really helps to bring it into focus is that a real important question. What's the point? What do we need to accomplish? Because you don't let go of accountability. You don't say, well, if you don't feel like it, you don't have to. You say, okay, look, here's the deal. Here's the point of this. If there's another way to get there, I'm willing to try it. You can suggest to me how you want to do it, but it does need to get done. And I say in the book, you know, if I knew then what I know now about myself when I was a child, I would have begged my parents to save enough money to go out to a restaurant supply and get a used restaurant booth and put it in my bedroom. And I would have been as happy as a clam. Mm-hmm. I would have studied. I would have had snacks. I would have been in a comfortable seat. I could have had friends visit and review with me. I mean, if I could have known that about myself, even in college, and I kind of was figuring that out in college, you know, you go to the restaurant with a couple friends and review for things, but just trying to kind of, if I'd known enough to say, okay, this is who I am, this is going to help me in where I don't succeed, I might have gotten a better grade in the astronomy or math or something, or I could have gotten myself squared away instead of just going, ah, it's just not my thing and I can't do it.
Yeah. And I love that when we teach them learning styles and we teach them things that can help them when they get older, they know what to do. They know what type right. of schooling or what type of jobs that will help them succeed. Many of my kids have, we've adopted 7 kids. So out of the 10, 7 are adopted. They have learning mm-hmm. disabilities, which I didn't have the first 3 kids. And so like one of my kids really struggles with writing. He just, the whole getting the letters on the paper, first of all, you have to shape them and then you have to spell them. And there's so mm-hmm. many mechanics that come with it. And then I want them to be creative. And one right. of his teachers said, do voice to text, let him talk into the computer and share the stories. And suddenly he sits down and, or she said, or type it for him. So I helped him at first with typing, and the child couldn't write down like the cat or the dog chased the cat. Like it was just the mechanics of it. He's like 5th or 6th grade. We're just so processing was succeeding was so hard. But when I sat down, like, okay, tell me about your story. And he said, the wind hitting the castle walls sounded like angry wolves. And I was like, whoa. Where did that come from? Because the creativity was there.
Right.
But because of the processing issues, the mechanics weren't there. And so realizing that there's often more inside of kids that they want to express, but some Absolutely. Of those things get in the way. And so I love that, you know, that teacher said, just sit down and type for him. It's in his mind. And so a lot of that, if I know that a kid's really struggling, let's just have a conversation about what you learned instead of having to sit down and write it all out. Then we can figure out voice to text or other things that can help you in the future get stuff on paper, because someday you're going to have to get that on paper. But sometimes I think we don't realize how brilliant our kids are, because yeah. we're expecting them to, at this grade level, be able to do certain things. And, you know, I mean, this is just, I've talked to other parents at homeschool. This is just in the last 100 years or 150 years, we have this grade does this, this grade does this. Before that, people learned by doing and right. interacting and following. And so it's really helped me as a mom to step back and like, okay, what's inside you and how can we get that out?
And, you know, there's, excuse me, there's so much, there's a huge increase in special education mm-hmm. diagnosis of attention deficit disorder and all these special learning disabilities. And what it is, I mean, if you look at attention deficit disorder, for example, mm-hmm. it's actually defined as a psychiatric disorder. And it can be anything that you just aren't good at. If you really, and the research was appalling, really, because they, you know, that what are you asking me to pay attention to? If I have to listen yeah. to a really long lecture and I'm can't move and I'm going to roll my eyes and I'm going to fidget and I'm not going to remember anything, it's, but if you put me in front of, you know, somebody I really like, somebody that's really dynamic and I'm listening to, or they have flannelgraph stories or features, I mean, what are you asking them to pay attention to? And Tricia, you may have noticed in there, Thomas Armstrong, who's one of my favorite authors and researchers, he quoted the American Psychological Association, and their statistics say that 1 out of 10 preschoolers has thoughts of ending their life. Mm. Preschoolers, that, and that more and more now, almost a third of the elementary kids, the early elementary kids in the public schools, are getting migraines and ulcers, and a third of our adolescents report being depressed and overwhelmed. And we're thinking, wait a minute, this isn't what learning is supposed to be about. Mm-hmm. And you're right that, you know, 175 years ago, Horace Mann created the model that we still have for school. Everybody of the same age is in the same grade. They learn the same thing at the same time for the same length of time. And Horace Mann died 2 decades before Alexander Graham Bell died.
Yeah.
I mean, before Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone. That's how old it is. And I quote in the book, you might remember the Dell Futures report just 2 or 3 years ago that said the children that are K through 12 right now are going to end up having jobs that aren't invented yet.
Yeah.
So please, while you're teaching them to learn, teach them how to keep on learning, because your son, who isn't going to be able to, not going to want to write and stuff, he probably isn't even going to end up in a job like that.
Yeah,
right. But he does need to know how to remember, how to concentrate, how to focus. And so these skills, they transcend sometimes the tasks that we ask them to do. And it can make a really big difference. And with the confidence level, again, I tell kids, when you go in, you get to decide whether you quit or not. Because you can walk in and go, uh-oh, none of this matches me. And you can either give up or you can go, okay, boy, I'm going to have to learn early in the morning, and I'm going to get a study buddy. And you can kind of go through your head, okay, if I can do these things, I think I can survive this, and I think I can be successful. If we can give our children that as early as possible, for as often as possible, before they leave us after such a short time, mm-hmm. it's going to make all the difference in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And just thinking about, you know, growing up, most of us went to public school, even those at homeschool yeah. now. And I remember when I first started homeschooling, I think you have to replicate, and you talk about that in the book. You know, we're not replicating what we did in school at home. And at first I had the little desks there. I had the charts on the wall, and very quickly learned that this is not, I had the schedule like in 15-minute increments. Mm-hmm. And I realized like this was not the way that was going to work at home, which is wonderful. We have the freedom. And I think one of the things that now that I have many adult kids, you know, just as many out of the house as I have in the house, seeing them, even after they're adults, realize gifts and talents and take guitar lessons and learn all these things. Another thing I thought was we had to teach them everything during that first 12 grades when they're at home, but just the love of learning, which you talk about too, the love of learning, the love of exploring, and not make everything be just about the test and just about, if your child is learning and can tell you about things and they're out there exploring together, that is learning. And that will carry them into adulthood. Will they be curious? Will they be willing to open their mind and explore and have conversations, all these things? And I think so many times we just think of the test, like we learned in school, think of the quiz, think of whatever between these hours. So talk a little about that. Just encourage people. And I highly encourage people, get this book. They're inside. There is information, all that she was saying about the assessments and personal profiles, if you're analytic or big picture global. I mean, there's just so many layers to this that we can't get into now. So I highly recommend the book.
And the little QR code. Right,
and the QR code. Yep, the QR code is in there. So there's so much that we can talk to about specifics, but I would just love for you to share just for those, just to be encouraged that learning, like there's a comment here, I'll put it in here. We have a comment says, learning is a lifetime adventure. And you talk about that. So just to encourage us that, you know, to think beyond what we grew up learning, that learning was.
Right. And one of the things that's encouraging, of course, is that parents can partner with our kids. And when if you're homeschooling, for example, you can say, I don't know, I wasn't very good at math myself. Let's try to learn this together. Or let's find somebody, you know, you've got hybrids of tutors and co-ops and other places. And if I were going to homeschool now, you know, I would certainly have my husband be doing the teaching on history and all the stuff that he's good at. And then you don't have to have an advanced degree or be a really smart person. You learn with your child. And it's surprising how many parents themselves, as they go through this, they go, that explains a lot. And, you know, sometimes the homeschool curriculum that you're working on, I mean, you can get it done in 2 hours, what took 6 hours at school. And there's no magic number. As you know, there's no magic formula for, you know, sit here a prescribed amount of time, do a certain amount of chapters. Let's figure out what the goal is. What do we need to know? And you can move at your own pace too. So a child who wants to sort of dilly-dally and sort of daydream, let's leave time for that. Let's not crush the creativity, but let's also not force the creativity for another child who just wants to get things done and wants to go about. It's just an amazing blank space in some ways, a blank easel that you help them paint to figure out, okay, how was I born? What was I born to do? What am I really uniquely good at? And and just to relax a little. There are several in chapter 9. There are lots of homeschool parents that gives a lot of really, I think, really practical advice. And so many of them say, and I don't know, you know, you have more advice on this than I do, but say, you know, well, take it a day at a time, or, you know, try it for 2 weeks in the summer time and see how it goes, or just, you just kind of relax with it. And you, if you can keep the point and the goal in mind, how many different ways there are to explore doing it, you have that freedom. And that's, yeah, that's a really, it's a deep breath on the part of the parents to go, oh, okay. 'Cause I'm no teacher, you know? Okay. And I don't want to teach. And I don't want to sit. I wasn't a very good student either. That's okay. You don't have to be a good student. You just have to be an interesting and competent learner. And learning and being a student can be two separate things.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I learned much more as a homeschooling mom alongside my kids than I did, yes, I felt in school. I love history now. I remember not liking history at all at school because it just was facts and dates and I couldn't remember everything. Now it's just, I love reading biographies and watching documentaries together, all the fun things. And we'll have a school day. If they get interested in something, we're going to find a documentary on it. We're going to, yeah, you know, explore all these things. And that's another thing, following their interests, what they're interested, right, in, and just going with that. Because if they're interested in something, they're going to want to learn more. They're going to want to do more. Oh, you want to write a story about that? Go ahead. You know, it doesn't have to be the assignment in the workbook that they're supposed to be writing about. If they're writing, or write a letter to grandma. I mean, all these different things. It's fun to see where they will take you. And they want to learn. They want, okay, to try new things. And the fun thing is that, you know, sometimes we think, oh, we're such bad homeschooling parents because we didn't get to whatever subject. I remember with my first three, we never did a foreign language. But we traveled. We traveled to Europe. We went on mission trips to the Czech Republic. We learned words. We learned about culture. My daughter later moved there as a missionary, and now she's fluent in that foreign language. So it's like, you know, I didn't sit down with that curriculum, and I felt like the worst homeschooling mom ever. We never finished that whatever curriculum that I had bought. But now, as an adult, she lives in a different culture. She's a missionary there. She teaches at a university there. She speaks fluently in a different language. And it was exposing them to different things, exactly, traveling different places, that really made a big difference.
And part of that, too, is asking them, well, where do you think we could find out more about that? Mm-hmm. And then explore with them. And because that also teaches them how to keep on learning. Where do I search for answers? And again, it all comes back to that foundation of the biblical worldview, mm-hmm, to the idea that you are who you are on purpose. God doesn't make a mistake. It's no coincidence that you belong to me, either by adoption or by birth. You belong, yes, to me. God gave you to me. And it's such an exciting adventure. So, but get them thinking and get them talking, because the traditional model of school is sit down, listen, take a test and get a good grade. And then all you want to do is get out of school. Mm-hmm. You don't want to keep on learning, because who wants to do that? So you have this whole opportunity to make learning the goal, to make, wow, where would I find that? And well, let's take a field trip. There's a movie showing about this particular historical figure. You want to go see? Let's go see if we, and you do it. And there's so much in the world that you can explore. And then once they leave you, they want to keep doing it. Like your daughter, suddenly she's on the mission field. She's gotten that basic core nuclear foundation of the biblical worldview, and it sticks. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you lead them into what some people say is a mission field, they're unprepared in the, mm-hmm, public school. And I really, you know, a couple, 3 years ago, I wouldn't have been as prepared to say as what I say now is really the public school. It's beyond hope in its, yeah, current form. It really is. There are some really good Christian schools that are coming alongside co-ops and homeschools. There are some other alternatives, but the public school, there's no way I would send my boys to public school. Mm-hmm. And I attended public school. I taught public school back in the day, but my boys went to Christian school because I was on the road a lot, and they came with me. So we kind of did a hybrid thing, but I just would not send my kids only to public school. There are some there are some exceptions, and we talk about that too in the book, you know, maybe a little bit of high school, or, you know, you can kind of blend it in, but make the core of it the biblical worldview and have confidence in yourself as a parent. You taught them how to eat with a spoon. You taught them, you potty trained them. You know how to teach. So you can teach them how they learn. And we're going to help you as much as possible. I welcome your feedback. And I am excited about the book. We've tried to make it as, number one, as affordable as possible. There are all kinds. It's not very expensive. It's very readable. It's 148 pages. It's fast. It's got a lot of stories in it. It's got a lot of, like you say, ways that you can kind of figure out yourself. And I kind of share about my husband. And we were a little bit candid about some of our flaws that way. And I really think everybody would benefit by it.
Yeah. And I love, I mean, it's just so simply laid out. I just opened right now. It talks about like the daily minimum requirements for like auditory learners. They need to talk. They need to ask questions. They need to hear from you. Visual learners, they need to see what you're talking about. I mean, you just made it. There's so many places within this book that you just open it up. And you talk about people today. We're so busy. We don't have time for things. Well, I started to pick up, like, I'm just going to skim it. And pretty soon I'm like, ooh, this is really good. Ooh, I'm going to check into this. So it's very approachable. It's not overwhelming. It's very simple to follow. It's also encouraging, as I still have 4 kids at home, 3 that I'm still homeschooling. I'm like, okay, this is great reminders. I think, you know, sometimes it gets easy to get in the rut of things that I find easy. Okay, no, I need to go back to asking questions. I need to go back. Okay, we've got to plan another field trip. I mean, all these things, it's so encouraging. So I thank you for taking the time. I thank you that you prayed about it and you listened to that stirring with you and made it easy. But if you have children anywhere in the education system, I highly recommend getting this. Buying a copy for a friend, reading it together would be great. And just say, you know, have those conversations of what do you think we could do together? I think so many times I love going on field trips with my friends, or I'm part of co-ops, different co-ops. And it's great to do this together, to encourage each other, to support each other, and to help our children.
Good for you.
Yeah. Well, Cynthia, where can people go to find more information about you and about this book?
You can go to CynthiaTobias.com. That's real simple. And the book's available everywhere, Amazon.com and ChristianBook.com. The audio version will be out April 9th. So if you're a book on tape or audio book, I guess not tape anymore. That just dates me, doesn't it?
I know.
But the audio books, I know my son is an audio book person. So that's coming out in just a week or so too. So
perfect.
Just follow your child's curiosity. And this is just celebrate who they are. It's a wonderful, wonderful world for them.
Yeah. And I want to thank you as a mom who's, like I said, read many of your things, have many of your books on my shelves. I just appreciate you because I know you have made a big influence in my life. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you, Tricia. To God be the glory.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tricia Goyer Show. I hope you received help and inspiration. That's what I'm here for. Now remember, if you would like to submit a question, email it to hello@trishagoyer.com, and I can't wait until we connect again.